بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last night we spoke about the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided humanity with guidance for their personal progress and also for establishing a community, a universal community based on justice as a major value and other values that inshallah we will talk about it. When it comes to personal progress, all the prophets helped humanity in order to combat their ego, in order to combat temptations coming from their nafs ammare, their commanding soul, from Satan. They try to take them from darkness to light. But when it comes to establishing a just society, it was the job of the messengers, of the Rusul, who were given the book and Mizan, the scale or the balance, as we explained last night, so that they would lead and guide humanity towards establishment of this social justice. لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. Of course, this also needs some power. Sometimes it leads to a struggle. Therefore, after that, Allah says, وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد. We also sent the iron as a perhaps kind of indication of some instruments for fighting, for defending, for resisting against bad powers. If you are interested in reviewing the points we discussed yesterday, so alhamdulillah I managed to make a review of it, a summary of it available, so I put it on internet, so inshallah you can see. And I don't want to repeat, so I mentioned 10 points that we discussed last night. One of the points was that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam played a very important role. We said that the Prophet Ibrahim not only established again Kaaba as a point of reference, as a place that belongs to Allah and at the same time to humanity. As you know, Kaaba is the house of Allah, but at the same time is the house of mankind. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضَعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَةً. So, to establish unity, tawheed on the earth, he was asked to rebuild Kaaba and to call people towards that house. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ. So till end of this world, Kaaba is going to be always a source of inspiration, a source of energy, a source of guidance for humanity. But another role of Prophet Ibrahim was to lay foundation for having a community. A community, first of all, staying around that house, but then spreading to all over the world. And that is the community that the Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail ask Allah to bless them by having them in their progeny. You remember we recited this verse, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. Rabbana waj'alna muslimayna lak wa min dhurriyyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. First, please make us, me and Ismail, two Muslim, two individuals who submit themselves to Allah. Of course, these two individuals are so important that even Ibrahim himself, Allah says that he was an ummah. And Ibrahim kana ummah. But individuals are not enough. We need a nation. We need an ummah. Therefore, they said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. So like a tree which is going to have lots of branches and leaves and fruits in future. That would be the community. That would be the ummah who is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. This beginning of founding the ummah, the community which is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was very strong. So much so that, as we said last night, even today, more than half population of the world have great love, respect for Ibrahim alayhi salam. It means that they feel in great debt to Ibrahim alayhi salam. If we are Tawheed, if we have Tawheed today, we are very much in debt to certain figures. One of them is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Of course, we are in debt to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to many people. But we are very much also in debt to Prophet Ibrahim. Especially if we want to find a common figure between all Jewish, Christian and Muslim communities, we have to refer to Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. But Prophet Ibrahim himself had this vision that the one who is going to continue this job and to establish completely what they started would be a group of people from his progeny who would have great association to Kaaba. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that I have appointed you as imam and leader for people, أَنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, he immediately remembered his progeny. Because he was aware that if he is the only leader, he is the only imam, then it's not sufficient. That ideal of having that ummah, that community, which would be submissive to Allah, needs this leadership to continue. Because this is not something that you can achieve in one generation or two generations. This has long future to come. So he immediately said, وَمَنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَنَالُ أَحْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ. It means yes. It continues in your Zurriya. The only people among your Zurriya who are excluded are those who have some kind of zulm, some kind of injustice. Why? Because these are going to be the leader of people who want to establish justice. So how can the leader be someone who himself is doing zulm? Whether it is zulm to himself or to other people. So, when Allah says, لَيَّقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, as we explain in Surah Hadid, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. This Nas needs imam, needs leader, needs someone like Ibrahim. But it has to continue. Therefore, those who are not zalimin, Those who reach the level of Imamah, they can continue this process. And for sure, this world would not come to an end unless finally mankind, people, achieve this under the leadership of someone from the Zurriya of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three places, as we said, in Surah Baqarah, in Surah Ali Imran, in Surah Jum'ah, He said, He sent actually that messenger that Ibrahim asked to be raised among his progeny. رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ Allah says, we sent him. And he did exactly all the things that Ibrahim asked for. Recitation of the verses of God, teaching them the book and wisdom, purification of their souls. That messenger did everything. He left nothing that Ibrahim prayed for, except that he completed the job. But the life of that messenger was not enough. And the preparation on the side of people was not sufficient, so that he would be the one who, in his time, that justice would be established. And as we know, unfortunately, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those traces of injustice which were there, which were hidden, then they started becoming bigger and bigger. We said yesterday that there were problems already in Medina during the life of the Prophet. Prophet suffered himself in Medina because there were people who were not listening to the Prophet. There were people who were making plans against the Prophet. And after the demise of the Prophet, it got worse. Those who were observing some kind of hypocrisy, some kind of nifaq, and hiding their real face, they had no worry. So they were expressing that. On top of that, some people also changed. There were people who were in the time of the Prophet Muslims, but unfortunately, because they were new, they were not established in Islam, they changed. Our Sunni brothers have these hadith in their sources that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment I will be standing next to Kawthar, the fountain, and I would be seeing that some of my companions would be stopped. They would not be let to come towards me. They would be taken towards that place. I would say, Rasulullah says, these are my companions. Then I will be told, La tadri ma'za ahdathu ba'dak. You don't know what they have done after you. It doesn't mean that the Prophet doesn't know. It means that when you were there, they have not yet done these things. After you left, they did these things. So, the life of the Prophet was too short to be able to educate people enough, to train people enough, to prepare them enough, so that in his generation, the mission can be completed. Not because he was not capable, na'uzu billah. All the Prophets were capable. Not because the guidelines were not sufficient. No. It's a gradual process and also needs cooperation of people. When something has to happen gradually and you need also people to cooperate, you cannot speed up by forcing people. It's against the whole philosophy of people voluntarily wanting to establish justice. If Rasulullah wanted, you know, by the help of sword, establish justice is impossible. This is something that must come from their own heart, commitment to justice, because justice is something that starts from within. according to Islamic understanding of justice, you can be a person who lives in a cave and be just or unjust. You can be a person who lives in a desert and be just or unjust. Because it's first of all something personal. If I have some good talents and I waste my talents, I am zalim. This is important, especially for the youngsters. Allah has gifted all of us with many, many talents. There are talents that we maybe don't know. We have not yet discovered. And there are talents that we have discovered. But most of us waste our talents. Even those who are very successful, I am sure that they have not been using even 10% of their talents. Allah has given us so much of capacity that we can do wonders. But we do zulm to ourselves. We waste our time. We waste our mental and psychological energy on the things which are not useful. Or if they are useful, they are useful just for a few minutes. This is the problem. We do zulm to ourselves. We do zulm to our own family members. We do zulm to our children, to our wife, husband, neighbors. So zulm is not something that you need to be a king or president or minister so that you do zulm. You can be a very simple, ordinary person and be zalim. And you can be a person who has power like Suleiman and is not zalim. So we have to be very careful. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not witness the establishment of social justice, universal justice in his time because people were not ready for that. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the same. All Imams so far have not been able to witness this. Why? Because لَيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْغِسْ, not لَيُغِيمُ Al-Qist, as we said. Because people have to rise up and stand for justice. Not that one person or few people on behalf of all humanity does this. This doesn't work. This is not wajib-e-kifai that few people do it and other people relax. This is not like what some people thought in the time of Prophet Musa. When Prophet Musa asked them to enter that town, they said, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. You and your Lord go and fight. We sit here. We don't, you know, disturb you. We sit here. You go and fight. When you finish the job, then we come and celebrate together. This is the mentality of many people. We wait for Imam Zaman to come. With the help of Allah, he establishes justice. Then we celebrate together. This is not working. If it was working, then there was no need to wait so many centuries. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the book Al-Kitab, taught the wisdom, accomplished noble traits of character, makarim al-akhlaq. So everything that we needed as guidance, he provided us with. Before his demise also, he said to make sure that you would not go to any wrong direction, I leave among you the book and my Ahlul Bayt. So as far as guidance is concerned, you would have no problem. Then it remains just a matter of obedience to the Imam. Obedience to the divinely appointed leader, to the one that is not one of zalimin, to the one who can continue the line of Ibrahim up to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without even a slight deviation. The true Islam, the original Islam, he can present. So What we inshallah have to do is first to understand what was the idea of that universal community and what are the requirements for belonging to that community, and the third, the mechanism of making that community happen. If we just sit, nothing is going to happen. It can go on for thousands of years and nothing happens. But we can work hard and make it happen next year or maybe next month. It's up to us. So we have to see what is that community, what are the characteristics, and how can we prepare ourselves for that, and how can we make it happen. Tonight I mention some verses of the Quran about the fact that first of all, this is certainly going to happen. It's just a matter of time and which generation is going to have the honor. Otherwise, this is going to happen. No one should think that they can stop this. No one can stop the plan that Allah has made. Allah has made this plan very clear in the Quran, in many places. Not only those verses which talk about the mission of Imam Mahdi, like وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ, but also the verses which talk about the message of Islam in itself. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three places says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينَ كُلِّهِ. This is mentioned in the Quran in three places. In two places, the ending is وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, which is Surah Tawbah, verse 33, and Surah Saf, verse 9. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينَ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And in Surah Fath, verse 28, the ending is different. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينَ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ الشَّهِيدًا. Let us reflect on these three verses. Allah is the one. هُوَ الَّذِي, He is the one that has sent his messenger with guidance. Wadin al-haq. Those who know Arabic, they understand that there is a difference between ad-din al-haq and din al-haq. So this is not adjective. This is muzaf and muzafun ilay. Wadin al-haq, not ad-din al-haq. Din al-haq means religion of truth. Not true religion. Because if you say true religion, then people may, you know, wonder, what is that true religion? This is the religion of truth. Means the religion of being truthful. Inshallah, one night I will talk about truthfulness. One of the most important quality of a mu'min and also a Muslim community is to be truthful. To be 100% committed to haqq. Otherwise, we cannot claim that we are mu'min. Allah has sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth. The path, religion, deen means path. This is the path of truth. Anyone in the world who is interested in truthfulness, who is interested in honesty, will find this religion acceptable. Inshallah, I will explain that there can be people who are not Muslims, but they are truthful and honest. In my understanding, these are closer to Islam than those Muslims who are not honest. There can be people who don't say prayer, but they never tell lies. And there are people who say prayer and they always tell lies. The first group is closer to Islam. Our hadith says mu'min may do many sins, but he never tell lies, never is dishonest, never deceives people, never cheats. Among all the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why he was known as Amin? Have you ever reflected on this? Before Islam, Rasulullah was still known as Amin. He was honest, he was truthful. For sure, he had many other good qualities. He was brave, he was kind, he was clever, he was intelligent. Why this quality was very much outstanding? I was reflecting on this. My conclusion is this: because for his future role as a prophet, as a guide, people had to trust his honesty. If Rasulullah had all other qualities, but he was known, not known to be Amin, how could people accept what he says? How could they be wholeheartedly following him, changing their lifestyle, giving up their idols that were very dear to them, and even sacrificing their lives and money for this message? If Rasulullah was not Amin, who was going to follow him? So, this is a great lesson for us. If you want to have good children as parents, you have to be known by your children as Amin. If you want to have good students, as a teacher, you have to be known as honest and truthful. If you are an alim that you want the community to believe in what you say, you have to be known by the community as Amin. And if we as a Muslim community want to have respect of non-Muslims for us, we have to be known as Amin. People should tell each other that there might be problems with Muslims. Maybe some of them are not, I don't know, well educated. Maybe some of them, I don't know, are not that clever or intelligent or whatever. But they are all honest. They are all truthful. You can never see a Muslim lying or cheating. This is what we have to establish. If we had this quality, then even little tabligh was enough to make people love Islam. And when you don't have this quality, if you have all the satellite channels and all the websites and publish thousands of books, you know, every day, people would not trust, because you are not known as honest and truthful. So this is Deen al-Haq. This is the religion of truth and truthfulness. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. Allah is the one who has sent this messenger. No one else is able to send such a message with such a messenger. It is Allah. Do you know why? Because Allah is al-haq. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق. So it is Al-Haq who can send the religion of Haq. Quran says, بِالْحَقِّ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. Al-Haq sent this message truthfully, and the message was delivered truthfully and shared with people truthfully. إِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ لَا مِنْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفٍ. There is no chance for batil, for falsehood, to penetrate. Of course, this is before reaching me and you. When it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet, and Prophet delivers, everything is al-haq. When it comes to people like me and you, then it is a test. Whether we do our best to understand that message truthfully and share it with people truthfully, or we bring things from our pocket and mind and add to this religion to suit our interests, That is the big problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who sent His messenger with guidance, bilhuda, wa deen al-haq, the religion of truth. Why? Just because of having this on display. You know, sometimes you go to some shops, you know, to some supermarkets, they have many things on display. Some of the things are rarely purchased, but they have to keep it on display because they want to say, you know, we have everything, so that you don't need to go to any other place. Everything is here. So has Allah sent Islam or this religion of truth so that it is on display, but people go for other options? No. This is for display, but the hope is that people finally reach that level of understanding and maturity that they choose truth over falsehood. Therefore, they come to this religion of truth. لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينَ كُلِّهِ, so that this religion of truth will overcome any other religion. When I say any other religion, quickly, some people think we are talking about other monotheistic religions. We are talking about Islam defeating Christianity and Judaism. No, that's not the point. The point is religion of truth in contrast to religion of falsehood. In the first place, those who have no God. In the second place, those who have polytheistic understanding of God. And this is why he said, وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, not وَلَوْ كَرَهَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. The concern is not أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, the concern is مُشْرِكُونَ. As you know in our hadith about آخر الزمان, we have two groups of hadith. One says that when Imam al-Zaman comes, Imam would rule and judge among the people of the book according to their own books. Among the Christians according to their own book. Among the Jews according to their own book. They would have their own places of worship. Imam would not close down or shut down, you know, churches and synagogues. Yes. Gradually, they themselves would come to the understanding that if they want to be better Christians and better Jews, they can find it with Imam Zaman. They can find it with Imam Zaman. So therefore, finally, as we have in some hadith, Islam will be available in all places. But this is not happening by force. This is not happening at once. This is a gradual process. And everything is for going back to Tawheed, to submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the best model, the best way of doing it is presented in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. This ad-deen is deen batil, which is in contrast to deen al-haq. وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, even if those who are polytheist, if they don't like, they cannot stop this. Or in Surah Fat, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ الشَّهِيدًا, and Allah is sufficient as a witness. Allah is informing about this, and you don't need to ask any other witness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His news is sufficient. His news is something that you can 100% trust. So this ideal, this goal of reaching that point, that the message of all the messengers, the book, that Al-Kitab, will be established, is guaranteed. When? We don't know. And no one can fix the time. Our hadith says, you must reject and deny anyone who fixes a time. كَذَبَ الْوَقَّاتُونَ. If someone says this is going to happen next year or after 100 years, or you know, in the year 3000 or 4000, we have to reject. Why? Because it very much depends on us. If we fix a time, then either we relax and say this is going to happen after 1,000 years, so we have no responsibility, or we think that we have to do things in rush. Someone says, you know, next year Imam Zaman is coming, so then we think that we have to do things in rush. No, you have to be always working, you have to be always alert, but at the same time, you don't know when. So we have to have plans for future as well. I have seen some people who had wrong idea that Imam Zaman is going to come very soon. Therefore, they did things in rush. They didn't do proper planning for future, and they messed up the things. We have to be always looking into all the opportunities for working, but at the same time, we have to have long-term plans. You know, if I think Imam Zaman is coming next year, so we will finish all the resources within the year. So if Imam Zaman doesn't come next year, we are a community which is bankrupt. If I know that Imam Zaman is coming in 2 years, so I never go to find a good, for example, place to build a school or mosque because Imam is coming in 2 years, so he will decide himself. So you have to find the balance between being always alert and working hard, but at the same time, not being in rush. Being far-sighted and plan for future. I mentioned one ayah, and inshallah I will finish this discussion for tonight, and inshallah we will continue. One of the beautiful verses of the Quran about this ummah which is going to be established, this community which is going to be established, is this ayah, Surah Baqarah, verse 143. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا. This verse is preceded and followed by some sentences about the change of Qibla, direction of prayer. You know that Muslims initially were asked to say their prayer towards Baytul Muqaddas or Baytul Maqdis or Jerusalem. This was a sign of unity, a sign of saying that we should be praying towards the same direction. But this was not well received. Unfortunately, instead of appreciating this, they started saying that Muslims don't have Qibla of their own. They need us. They imitate us. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the direction. Of course, we believe that in the knowledge of Allah, this was from the eternity known. But that was a test to see who is going to accept and who is going to reject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. This ayah is very important. We have made you in this way a middle, a balanced ummah, nation. Islamic community, Muslim ummah has to be balanced, has to find the middle position. Going to extremes has nothing to do with Islam and with the way that Allah has planned this religion. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Of course, this جَعَل is tashri'i, not takwini. It means that this is legislative. It's not that Allah has created us to be balanced so that we cannot be anything else. This is the legislation of Allah. Allah has wanted us to be balanced. Allah has designed Islam in the way that we can be balanced. But if we misunderstand Islam or mispractice, then we end up with the situation that we have in the world today, that you see lots of problems and lack of balance, as I will mention, in Muslim ummah. And If the Ummah is like what we see today, they don't represent Islam. At least parts of this Ummah, they don't represent Islam. Because Allah has planned and designed this Ummah. In other words, He has wanted this Ummah to be balanced. Why? Is it only for their own good? If you are not balanced, you would suffer. You know, if I eat too much, or if I eat nothing, I will suffer. If I don't work, or I work too much, I will suffer. If I pay no attention to my family, or I pay too much attention and I forget everything else, I will suffer. But here there is another factor, another thing. If our Ummah is not balanced, not only we suffer, we would also lose an opportunity. What is that opportunity? That is the opportunity of being leader for other nations. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. We have designed Islam in the way that you can be a balanced nation so that you would be witnesses for other nations. If Prophet is your leader, he is a witness for you, you are also to be leader and witness for other people. لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Rasulullah is your leader, and you have to follow him and become leader for other nations. Not by force, not by sword. There is no matter of sword. Was Rasulullah leader of Muslims by sword? No, they loved him. They followed him because they loved him. If you are balanced, people follow you because they love you. If people see that our community, and we don't need to wait, you know, for the whole Ummah to wake up. We can start from our own local community. We can start from London. We can start from even Northwest London or any part of, you know, any town. This can start with few people. Most of the prophets started with few people. Yes, some of the prophets inherited already an Ummah, a community. But many people started with just few people. We can start it from here. If we achieve this balance, and this has many, many dimensions, balance between secular education and religious education. This needs by itself, you know, one Muharram to talk. How we sometimes lose this balance. Everything goes for secular education. Or, in rare cases, everything goes for religious education. Both are wrong. Of course, the first is more common, but maybe the second is also happening. We need both. We don't need to sacrifice one for the sake of other. Why we cannot be very advanced in secular education, but at the same time be very advanced in religious education? Why we cannot spend money, energy, attention to the religious education of our children as we do for our secular education? I know that there are people who even have financial problems, but still they are ready, and I don't, you know, have any problem, I appreciate, to borrow money to send their children to private schools or government schools. They have really shortage of money, but still they're happy to do this. This is good. I'm not saying they should stop or they should do. I'm saying I don't have any problem. But how many people are ready to borrow money to provide their children with religious education? When it comes to religious education, we do tawakkul. Inshallah, it will be all right. When it comes to secular education, there is no tawakkul. Even when sometimes, you know, we say, people, you know, please let us have our own Islamic schools. And if we work as a community, for sure, even in secular, you know, records, we can be very successful. But they say, no, we cannot take risk. We can send our children, you know, to a school which are already established. They don't do any tawakkul. They don't do any sacrifice. They are not ready to take any risk. Although this is not a risk which is not realistic. If we really work together as a community, we can have best secular education in our Islamic schools. But there is no sign of tawakkul here. But when it comes to religious education, just attending mosque, we think it's enough, if we attend. Just sending to madrasa for a few hours, we think it's enough. So this is not going to work. We need to have balance. When it comes to working for dunya and working for akhirah, we have to find balance. Our imams, both Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam Hassan alayhi salam, are quoted as saying, "Kun ladunyaka ka'annaka tamutu ghadan." Ka'annaka ta'ishu abadan. Wa kun la'akhiratika ka'annaka tamutu ghadan. With respect to your dunya, act as if you are going to be here forever. What does it mean? There are two interpretations. Some people say it means that for your dunya, work, plan in the way that you are supposed to be here forever. So don't say, because I'm going to die, so I waste energy, I waste, environment, damage the environment. No. Think that you might be here for 1,000 years. When you do something for dunya, do it properly. But at the same time, for your akhirah, you must think that you might die tomorrow. If I know that I'm dying tomorrow, what am I going to do? If I know that I'm going to die tomorrow, as soon as I finish this lecture, I'm going to go home and start, you know, doing tawbah and writing my will and preparing myself for tomorrow. I don't have any, even 1 minute extra to waste. If we have this balance between dunya and akhirah, everything will be all right. Everything will be sorted out. If we have balance in being open and at the same time have our own principles. Again, this is a very important topic. We don't have, you know, time to elaborate more. You know, many times people say, you know, we have to be open. We have to be very much accommodating other people, other communities, other ideas, new things, new methods. Okay, this is good. For sure, Islam is a religion which encourages Muslims to take advantage of any new development in science, technology, communication. We have to learn from other communities. Even Islam says you can learn from kuffar. We don't have any problem. Even Rasulullah said, "Utlubu al-ilm walau bis-sin." No problem. Islam says, "Khuzu al-hikma walau min ahli an-nifaq." Learn wisdom even from munafiqin. No problem. We are very open. But at the same time, how much your stomach is able to digest? This is the problem. Islam says you can take different foods, but also think about the capacity of digestion that you have. If I put all these ideas in my mind, I'm going to confuse myself and then confuse people around me. And if I have member, then I can confuse the community. So we have to be very careful. We have to be open, but at the same time, we need to have a framework for this openness. We need to have window, but we need also to have walls to protect. If we make a house which is all surrounded with windows, and all the windows are open, so how we are going to protect our family? We have to find a balance. We need to have our principles. And we have to have methodology to understand how to apply those principles to changing circumstances. This is the role of ijtihad. This is the role of our maraji, our great scholars. This is not something that we give everyone a chance to try. Okay, for a few years you lead the community. Another few years you lead the community. You lead the youths. Let's see what happens. No. We don't have any right for ourselves or other people to try things which for sure have no basis on knowledge, on skillfulness. So this is another balance that we have to find. To be very open when it comes to wise ideas, to new methods, but at the same time to have your own principles. So this is another thing. Or when it comes to relations, we have to be open. As Muslims, we must not separate ourselves and isolate ourselves from other people. Our houses, our offices, our centers, our schools should be open. But does it mean that we lose our own control? We lose our orientation? Do you want to invite them to a Muslim house and show them a Muslim family? Or you want to make your house a non-Muslim house and your family a non-Muslim family so that you welcome them? It's a big issue. Do you want to sacrifice some of your values in order to welcome people? Or you want to keep your values and say, come and see our values? If the community is diluting its values in order to welcome other people, when they come, then they say, you are like us. We don't see anything new in you. And I remember a few years ago here, I think it was the year 2006 or 2007, there was a marriage, you know, interfaith, you know, program here. Some of you may remember that event. And there was a person from one community, not Muslim, and when he talked about marriage, he talked in the way that it was exactly like English marriage. And I was telling myself, everyone here knows that this is not what they do. How he is, you know, deceiving himself. When they ask you to come and represent the traditions of your own religion or your community, they expect you to say something different. But if you say everything as the English community is doing, then you are betraying your own tradition, and also you are wasting the time of people who are here, because they know these things better. I don't want to mention which community, because that person doesn't necessarily represent the whole community, but that particular example was like this. So it is very good to be open, and we have to be open. We have to welcome people. Whether they come to our house or to our mosque, we have to be hospitable. But at the same time, we have to understand that we are given some beautiful values, and those come to see these values. Not that we become like them and have nothing new to offer. So these are some aspects of this balance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you have this balance, you become witness for other people. لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا. So how Rasulullah, this is a very beautiful point, how Rasulullah can provide all humanity with guidance? How can Rasulullah help humanity to establish those values? By having a community under him who represent his teachings. If Rasulullah was enough and he didn't need to have a community which corresponds to what he teaches and preaches, then he could have finished the job. But Rasulullah needs to tell to people, look at my community. If I tell you that you have to be just even to your enemies, look at my own community. If the community is like what Rasulullah preached, they all accept. And this is why I said last night that this is very vital for the success of Imam Zaman Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif to have a community next to him. that he can say, this is my theory and this is my sample. Do you want it? Here you are. But if you just give them theory, they say, we have, you know, heard many, many beautiful words. So many isms and schools of thought have come, and they spoke very nicely about justice, about this and that. We don't trust anyone. We need reality. We need haqiqa. Where is this haqiqa established in any part of the world so that we can trust you? So it's very important that we start with achieving these qualities first among ourselves, and then inshallah Allah would honor us to pave the way for Imam Zaman inshallah to share it with the rest of humanity. Inshallah we will continue this discussion inshallah tomorrow. Now let us reflect on some of the hadith about the tragedy of Karbala. As I said before, even the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, before even the advent of Islam, this tragedy was predicted and was actually foretold. Yesterday I mentioned about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is also hadith from Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. I just mentioned one hadith. This hadith is narrated by the late Shaykh al-Saduq in his Amali. And the narrator is Ibn Abbas. You know, Ibn Abbas was a very good companion of the Prophet. But at the time of the Prophet, he was very young. Most of his learning came from Imam Ali alayhi salam. But he has respect among all the schools of Islam. He says, كنت مع أمير المؤمنين في خرجته إلى صفين. When Imam Ali alayhi salam went to the battle of Siffin, he says, I was with Imam. And فلما نزل بنينوى, when they had a station and, you know, stopped in نينوى, he said, قال بأعلى صوته, with a very loud voice, أمير المؤمنين said, يا ابن عباس أتعرف هذا الموضع؟ O Ibn Abbas, do you know this location? قلت له ما أعرفه يا أمير المؤمنين. I said, I don't know this place. فقال عليه السلام, لو عرفته كمعرفتي لم تكن تجوزه حتى تبكي كبكائي. Amir al-Mu'minin said, if you knew this place in the way that I know, you were not able to pass unless you cry like me. فَبَكَى طَوِيلًا حَتَّى إِخْضَلَّتْ لِحْيَتُهُ. Imam Ali alayhi salam started crying so that the tears started coming to his beard and to his chest. وَصَالَتَ الدُّمُوعُ عَلَى صَدْرِهِ. Even his chest became wet. وَبَكَيْنَا مَعًا, and we cried together. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ أَوِّهْ أَوِّهْ مَالِي وَلِآلِ أَبِي سُفْيَانِ مَالِي وَلِآلِ حَرْبِ حِزْبِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَأَوْلِيَاءِ الْكُفْرِ. What does the family of Abu Sufyan want from me? What does the family of Harb, the party of Shaitan, the guardians of Kufr, want from me? It means, why are they going to do this with my son Hussein? Sabran ya Aba Abdullah. O Hussein, be patient. Faqad laqiya abuk mithla alladhi talqa minhum. Your father also has been mistreated by these people. Your father also has been dealt with zulm and injustice with these people. Thumma da'a bima'in. Then Amir al-Mu'minin said to bring him some water. فَتَوَضَّعَ وُزُوءَ الصَّلَاةِ. Then Imam made wuzu. فَصَلَّى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُصَلِّي. Then he prayed as much as Allah wanted him to pray in the land of Karbala. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ نَحْوَ كَلَامِهِ الْأَوَّلِ. Then he repeated. It was so important that Amir al-Mu'minin, after such a short gap, again he repeated what he said. And then he had a nap. And after he woke up, he said, Yabna Abbas. Then I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I am at your service. فَقَالَ أَلَا أُحَدِّثُكَ بِمَا رَأَيْتُ فِي مَنَامِ آنِفًا. Shall I tell you what dream I had just now? فَقُلْتُ نَامَتْ عَيْنَاكِ وَرَأَيْتَ خَيْرًا يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Inshallah, you had a good dream, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen said, رَأَيْتُكَ أَنِّي بِالرِّجَالٍ قَدْ نَزَلُوا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَأَهُمْ أَعْلَامٌ بِيذ قَدْ تَقَلَّدُوا سُيُوفَهُمْ. In my dream, I saw some men coming from a sky, and they have white flags, and they have their swords carrying on their neck. وَيَبِيذٌ تَلْمَعْ. And they were white and illuminating. وَقَدْ خَطُّوا حَوْلَ هَذِهِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَّةً. And then they started drawing a line around this land. ثُمَّ رَأَيْتُ كَأَنَّ هَذِهِ النَّخِيلِ قَدْ ضَرَبَتْ بِأَقْصَانِهَا الْأَرْضِ تَضْضَرِبُ بِدَّمٍ عَبِيدٍ. Then I saw these palm trees are bringing their branches to the earth, and the fresh blood is coming from their branches. وَكَأَنِّي بِالْحُسَيْنِ سَخْلِي وَفَرْخِي وَمُضْغَتِي وَمُخِّي قَدْ غَرِقَ فِي. And when I saw in this river of blood, in this ocean of blood, my Hussein is drowning. يَسْتَغِيثُ فِيهِ فَلَا يُقَاثُ. He asked for help and no one is helping him. وَكَأَنَّ الرِّجَالَ الْبِيضُ قَدْ نَزَلُوا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ يُنَادُونَهُ. And those white men who have come from a sky, they call him. وَيَقُولُونَ صَبْرًا آلَ الرَّسُولِ. Oh, the family of the Prophet, be patient. فَإِنَّكُمْ تُقْتَلُونَ عَلَى أَيْدِي أَشْرَارِ النَّاسِ. You are going to be killed by the most wicked people. وَهَذِهِ الْجَنَّةِ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. But this is heaven ready for you, O Hussein. إِلَيْكَ مُشْتَاقَةً. This is the heaven which is waiting for you. This is the heaven which is eager to have you. ثُمَّ يُعَزُّونَنِي. And then they give me condolences. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا أَبَا الْحَسَنِ أَبْشِرْ فَقَدْ أَقَرَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَيْنَكَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then they say me, يَا أَلِي يَا أَبَا الْحَسَنِ, you also should be happy that on the day of judgment, when all people stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and support for you. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa say'alamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalabun. Nas'aluka Allahumma wa nad'uk bismika al-azim al-a'zam al-a'z al-ajal al-akram wa bil-Qur'an al-mustahkam wa bi-Muhammadin wa Aliyin wa Fatima wal-Hasan wal-Husayn. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qulubana ala Dinik, Wakfina Ya Qadhi al-Muhimmat, Wakfina Ya Qafi al-Muhimmat, Wa Ya Qadhi al-Hajat, Innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. O Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. O Allah, please forgive us. Please forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Please enable us to serve you with full honesty and truthfulness and sincerity. Please include us among the best followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Please protect and safeguard our community and our families and our youths from everything that you don't like. O Allah, please hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with what we do and what we say. Please answer his du'as for his faraj. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. O Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad right now. and please give long life and bless life to the parents and to the teachers and maraja who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.